Welcome to 2017 and the Context Machine. This is Brian Chaffin. This is episode 690.
Yeah.
Which is technically coming from 2025. And I'm Brian Chaffin.
Yes, you are. And I'm Jeff Gamet. And man, I feel like maybe we should just fire up like Winamp and head over to Napster or something.
Yeah. So macOS 26.1 came out and it messed up like our recording stuff.
So bad.
So yeah. we've had to go back to recording ourselves on our end, and then I'm going to mix it, and then we're going to hope that we've recorded at the same frequency so that it doesn't get off sync. So, because that'd be really cool.
That'd be super cool. Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, we record our own ends and put them together anyhow. That's nothing new. I totally get that. But we've had a system where it takes everything and blends it together. So when we're done recording, we have a finished file. And typically, on all the edits you hear us do, you can tell we don't edit. It just comes out and it's done.
Well, so we do some editing. And we just happen to leave in a lot of jokes about editing so that you hear those jokes.
You're
breaking. But, you know, I will frequently take out my dog barking or, you know, when I've had to get up to go pee.
Or when I'm talking.
Yeah. Because that's not about me.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway.
Wait, Brian, before we. Hey, everyone, go ahead and fire up Netscape Navigator and head on over to contextmachine.io and check out our website.
I would rather use CyberDog.
Good times. Yeah. You know, I still do use OmniWeb a lot.
That's really interesting. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. So you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Mm-hmm. And We have a sponsor today. Our sponsor is MacPaw.
Oh, I love those guys.
The cloud cleanup feature in Clean My Mac.
We're going to tell you more about them later in the show. But first, speaking of 2017, we're actually going to talk about some Mac software. We used to do that all the time.
In the before times.
Yeah, in the before times in particular, yeah. But you got, some kind of sneak peek at Omni Outliner 6?
I did, and since or after I got the sneak peek, then a few days later, they rolled out the public beta, so everyone can go check it out. So you can get in on the sneak peek too, if you will. It's no secret I'm a big Omni Outliner fan. And so when they wanted to show me some of the new things that were coming, I was all on board for that. One thing a lot of people are going to like, Brian, is it's now a universal app.
Oh, it wasn't before?
No, and that's because there were certain features that you simply couldn't do on iOS or iPadOS.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And, or at least I believe that's the reason why they couldn't be the same app, but they've been able to address those features. So, you can do things like the advanced search stuff that you could do on the Mac. You can now do stuff like that on your iPad and iPhone. It's super slick. There's amazing new.
Okay, hold on. Uh-huh. Why don't you tell us what this app is? I mean, it's been a long time since we've talked about Omni Outliner. It's been a long time since we've written about Omni Outliner at the Mac Observer.
It's been a long time since we've been at the Mac Observer.
Well, that's true. But I'm kind of part of my point is that that would have been a big part of why we were talking about this app. And it's been a long time. So why don't you start with what this app is?
All right. So everyone knows what Omni Outlander is, except you, Brian. so I'll explain it to you. And of course, I know you actually know what Omni Outlander is. But for those of you,
yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that. Okay, so Omni Outlander is an application that has what it does right in the name, outliners. So it lets you make outlines. And yes, you can do outlines in other applications, but when you get like really serious about wanting to have a lot of control over what you're doing with an outline and make them very sophisticated, like have columns and so you can have a lot more information, almost like it's a spreadsheet or database in a way, but it's an outline. That's what Omni Outlander does. So like for me, if I'm writing something out, that's more than just like a paragraph or so where I need to structure what I'm doing, then I'll start an Omni Outlander and I'll make all the things that I need to talk about happen in there. I can reorder them. I can change the hierarchy and do all that stuff. I can throw links in and other files, graphics. I can link to other outlines that I have and other documents and other content. There's a ton of stuff you can do in here. So it's like anything you'd want to do with an outline, but then you want it to be like super powerful and handle all the other stuff where you're like, well, I have it in the outline, but I have to go reference this other thing. Nope, just use Omni Outlander and that'll do it for you. Couple examples. If you saw my presentation at MacStock, actually any year, then what you saw is a presentation that started in Omni Outlander and then got exported out so that I could put it into Keynote, and it just automatically had my slides and notes because you can export out and then just open it directly. And so I do all of my presentations before graphics ever start happening. The whole thing is done in Omni Outlander. Then the bonus is I never have to look at the screen on my computer or behind me to stay up on my notes. I'll just have Omni Outlander on my iPad, and I can just reference that, and it's a lot less obtrusive because now I don't have anything in front of me to separate me from the people I'm talking to. Anyhow, super powerful, and it's just a really cool thing. You remember way long ago when I wrote my book, Designer's Guide to Mac OS X, I did the whole thing in Omni Outlander and then took it out from there and did all the formatting and stuff that was necessary for it to go to press. So, does that sound like a good overview of Omni Outlander?
Yeah, it does. And how long has it been since, how long has 5.x been out? 10 years?
Not nearly that long.
Did you almost make me have to edit?
I honestly don't even remember when Omni Outlander 5 came out. In my defense, we live in crazy times, and you know, we had the whole pandemic lockdown, and it changed how I perceive time in general.
Right. And we could look this up right now, but I don't know.
That just seems way too professional for us.
It's been a long time, though. And so Omni Outlander fans have been waiting for this update for a while.
Yeah.
And it's here. Is it been released, or are they just still showing sneak peeks?
It's a beta that anyone can go and get in on.
And the Omni folks are, has there been any change in the company?
No, they're still just as awesome as they've always been.
Yeah, so they're a great Mac company.
Yeah, they absolutely are. They are just absolutely fantastic. And I can personally confirm there have been no changes in the company. When I did my meeting with them about Omni Outliner 6, Ken Case, founder of the company, he's still there, and he was in the meeting talking with me about Omni Outliner. So
awesome.
Yeah. So the real deal, the real people, they're still there.
It felt just like 2017.
In many ways it did.
I'm detecting a theme.
Yeah. Maybe they should have called Omni Outliner 6, Omni Outliner 6, the 2017 edition, just for Jeff and Brian.
Sure. All right. So get back to what's new in the app.
Okay. So the advanced filtering, that's universal now. So that used to be Mac only. One thing that's really important for a lot of outlines is all of the the granular formatting, and you couldn't really do that on an iPad, for example, because you couldn't use the styles attribute inspector, and now you can. So there's a bunch of other things, but those are like big standout things. One thing that made me super excited on the Mac, and this is a Mac thing because it applies to how you use applications on your Mac, you can have multiple windows for the same document open. And to wrap your head around that one, let's say you have a really long, complex outline, and there are like two different sections that you need to reference at the same time. You don't have to scroll back and forth through your outline to get to those sections. Just have a couple windows open and look at the parts you want in each window. This one's going to be super useful for me.
Cool.
Yeah. Another thing they showed me, it's so simple, but it's like so big for the people that use it. Let's say you toss a graphic into an outline. The thumbnail would be like this. It tried to represent it at full size. So now you can resize the thumbnail so that that it's a more reasonable size for whatever your outline is. They made a change for the people that use Essentials that is I think really great. So before, if you had an outline that had inline attachments, so it's like links to other documents and stuff, what you would do is, or if you're using Essentials, what you would see is a dialogue saying, "Hey, you need to have the full version, not the Essentials version." And it was a big impediment to a lot of people using Omni Outliner. So they're like, we need to change that because this is a problem for those users. So now, even if you're using Essentials, it has full support for inline attachments. So all of those outlines that people were using where they would just kind of get stonewalled because someone else had made the outline and it had inline attachments, not a problem anymore. So that was a huge thing. They did tons with automation, and some of the stuff they were showing me, it was like getting super cool because now you can also link it in to, well, it has support for Apple's AI, foundation thing. So you can use Apple's AI directly inside Omni Outliner. So like an example would be, let's say, Brian, you are putting together a presentation for, let's say you're going to MacStock with me next year and you're speaking. And so you're going to talk about everything that matters to Brian. And
That sounds like every day.
Well, yeah, it's going to be the keynote.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You know, and let's say you have like a document that you've just written all this stuff in. Let Apple's AI thing look at your document, and then it'll just make an outline for you out of that. So you have a great starting point without having to figure out, how do I need to structure all these parts? Or if you're doing a thing where you're asking for information, and you need the results to be in an outline format, you know, you pose your query, it processes all of that, and then generates you an outline with your answers.
All right.
So it's super cool. And if you're reusing OmniLinks, so that's a thing where you're linking like between spreadsheets, between outlines, or you're linking out to other documents and stuff. It used to be, if you were sharing that outline with someone else and they have all those documents, that would all break unless they had the exact same file structure on their computer to match up with the link. Now that's not a problem. So you get a document like that, you click on a link, and it's like, Brian, tell me where the folder is that has these files. And you point it to that, and it's like, done, fixed. So super cool. And it doesn't matter what device you're on. It works across all of them now. So they've taken a tool that is super useful already and really ramped it up. And clearly they had people like me in mind when they were doing all this stuff, because I do so much in outlines. And playing with the beta, of course, there's some things that don't work yet because it's a beta, and that's fine. You go into a beta knowing what's going to be a problem. It's been working great for me, and don't have to worry about file format change. So all the Omni Outliner files I already have, they open in version 6 just fine. And I've been able to work on the various outlines that I have happening right now in Omni Outliner 6 without any problems.
Cool.
It's super cool. So, if you're not an Omni Outliner fan, go check it out. I'm super impressed with what they're doing.
All right. Giddy up. Thanks for the update.
Hey, sure thing. I bet we will come up with an opportunity to talk about this more later, because, you know, this is just the very first beta release they're getting out there. And so there's going to be some cool stuff happening, I think.
That seems likely, right?
Seems likely to me.
All right. So why don't we take the opportunity to tell the folks about our sponsor, MacPaw?
You know, I would actually love that. So MacPaw, company we already love, and Clean My Mac, a utility suite for the Mac that we already love. They've added in a new thing called Cloud Cleanup. And what I love about this is that it addresses a problem that I have, and I'm assuming a lot of other people have, which is you have cloud services where you're storing a bunch of files, iCloud, OneDrive, Google Drive. That's what it works with right now. And you're like, oh, crap, I'm going to have to buy more space. Because I have so much stuff, let Cloud Cleanup go through all of that and help you figure out where you're wasting space on those services and clear out the stuff that you don't need. So maybe you don't have to pay for extra storage. It's super slick and it's super cool and it's really handy. If you are someone that uses cloud storage, and you're ready to make sure that you're not wasting space and having to spend money on that, go get Clean My Mac and use the cloud cleanup feature. So here's what everyone can do. You can get tidy today with your cloud services, you can try it free for 7 days. And then if you go to CLNMY, so that's Clean My, but without the vowels in it, CLNMY.com/contextmachine, all uppercase letters, then you can get 20% off Clean My Mac and take advantage of cleaning up your cloud storage and take advantage of all the other features. So that's super cool. And thank you to Clean My Mac at MacPaw for being our sponsor this week.
Yep. Talk about good companies, good Mac companies.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
There you go.
Okay. So now I wanted to follow up with you. So I believe the last show we did, we talked about you preparing to go to your first pin show. Isn't that right?
Yes. And I actually did go.
Yeah, you did. And you met my friend Nick.
Nick is super cool. And holy crap, he has so much information packed in his head.
Yep.
I was like really, really impressed with everything he knows. And he's a really nice guy. I'm so glad I got to meet him.
So I am too. So I've been playing shuttled between you and him for a long time with questions that you had about pin stuff. But what I'm curious though is, what was it like to be your first pin show?
It was super cool and it was super fun. You know, when you and I go to shows, conferences, whatever, expos, we're usually there in some sort of official capacity speaking. When I went to this, I'm just another person showing up who likes pens. And the exciting thing for me is walking in and knowing that I'm completely anonymous there. No one knows who I am. No one assumes I have some agenda or anything. Ironically, I did at one point hear someone call my name and turn around and saw someone that has been a fan of our shows for a long time. So we talked for quite a while, and that was actually really cool.
You ran into a fan of ours?
Yeah.
From like way back. At the pin show.
Yeah.
You had a random person who was randomly attending the same pin show that you were attending, and they were a fan of ours.
This is how my world works, Brian.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Who was it?
I'm not saying because I didn't have permission, or I didn't ask for permission to talk about them specifically. So I will respect anonymity and, it was super cool. Just hearing my name and turn around and then hear someone, and I've met them before and, met them, and they were in town in Boulder, several years ago. And asked if they could meet, and I'm like, of course. And they had their family with them, and so we had a great time for an afternoon, and it was a lot of fun. And then run into them at this pen show. Yeah, that's how my world works.
Excellent. That's okay. I had not heard that anecdote, so thank you for sharing.
Oh sure, yeah. Yeah, but anyhow,
what kind of pens did you see? So I know that you and I have been talking about fountain pens for a while now on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know about the wide array of different fountain pens that one can see at a pen show. And you know, what was your takeaway from the pens that you saw?
I this will sound kind of crazy. As a veteran of CES and Macworld and a bunch of other big conferences, I was actually kind of overwhelmed for a little while being in there. And
you've been to CES.
And I've been to CES. I've been to CES solo. And I totally wore out a pair of shoes there. I'm not kidding, people. But I was able to manage it alone and came back and was like, next year we're taking a crew. Yeah, for a little while I was overwhelmed, but everyone was so nice, and before I even got in to the expo floor area, I was talking with people, sitting down at tables, they're showing me their pens. I brought a couple pens with me that I wanted help confirming what models they were, and so I got hooked up with the right people to tell me what these pens were. It's a couple Mont Blancs, and anyhow, everyone.
Did you take them with you?
I took them with me. Yeah.
Right. So you that's something that you can do at a pen show. You can bring the pens that you have, the old fountain pens that you have that you're curious about. You're going to find someone who will know something about them.
Yeah. And it was interesting, you know, like some people, they look at the pens and like, oh, I think it might be a 145, but I'm not sure. And that's one of the Mont Blanc pens. And, but then there's this one guy, they're like, just go see him. And he was right by the entrance. And I pulled the pen out, hand it to him. And he goes, oh yeah, this is a 144, but one of the special models that they did. And you don't have anything inside this pen. Like he knew there was no converter or cartridge in the pen, just holding it in his hand.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, that makes sense from the standpoint of I can see someone knowing how much a pen should weigh.
Yeah,
in the business.
Yeah, it was super cool, and so he showed me. He didn't, but someone had already shown me before I got to him how you shine a light through the pen to see if it's a counterfeit or not, because a Mont Blanc, because of the resin that they make it out of, even though the pen looks black, it will kind of glow red when light shines through it if it's a real one. And so I'd already been shown that. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And of course he checks and he's made sure it wasn't a knockoff pen, because apparently that's a big thing. But anyhow, so yeah, you're asking me what kinds of pens I saw. There were so many pens there, and there were more than fountain pens, but the majority of pens were fountain pens.
And the fountain pens, especially from ye olden days, often came in sets with the mechanical pencil.
Yes. And
so there would be lots of mechanical pencils that are matching to usually a larger fountain pen.
Yes. And I did see a couple sets like that where it was the fountain pen and mechanical pencil, or both of those plus a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
So I saw a bunch of vintage stuff. There was quite a bit of new stuff. There was this one company that was there that have the pen. It's a Japanese pen where the style is they take like eggshell and it's ground up into tiny little pieces, and then they hand place the pieces onto the pen body and make these intricate patterns out of it. And I don't know what that's called, but there's this one pen that I'm looking at. I'm like, this is amazing. I love how it feels. And I love how it writes. And then I saw that I was holding a $4,500 pen, and I very gently handed it back and told them, thank you. But a lot of people said, hey, go check out Esterbrook pens, because there'll be a bunch of those. So I did, And I almost bought an Esterbrook just because everyone's like, you need an Estee in your collection. But in the end, I did not buy an Esterbrook pen. But yeah, there are just tons of brands and tons of vintage pens, and price ranges from a few dollars up to thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yep.
For pens. Yeah.
What'd you buy?
A pen. Well, first I bought it from Nick, and it was cool because I said, here's my budget. And remember how I said, I'm taking some cash with me, and that's all the money I can spend.
That's smart.
And yeah, because I mean, it would have been easy just to buy and I didn't want to do that because I figured I'd get home and I'd have a bunch of stuff for later on. I'm like, this is fun, but it's not really wanted. So anyhow, I gave Nick the parameters of what I was looking for, and he's like, okay. And he has this display that laid out on the table. The table is like, I don't know, like two of the banquet tables, folding banquet tables that you have at conferences, mm-hmm. two of those together. And it's completely covered with pens. And just without even having to look, he's like, and there's this one. And then he says, hold on. And he starts pulling out these massive leather-bound zipper folio things that are full of pages and pages of pens. And he's flipping through and he's like, this one, and then picks up another one from under the table, and this one. So he picked out different pens and gave me the pros and cons, and it was super cool. And it was fun. I got to try writing with each of them. So my parameters were, I wanted to spend no more than $200, and I wanted something that I could use as an everyday carry pen if I so choose. And I had a couple other parameters that I gave him as well. And so of the three pens that met all that criteria, the one that I settled on is a Pilot Elite. And I learned how to read the numbers on the nib. So I know this Pilot Elite was manufactured in a plant outside Tokyo in July 1974.
I'm pulling it up. Oh, that's is it a black with the
and?
Oh no, yeah, it's that one. Yep,
it's black and it has a silver metal cap, but it has like a grid pattern etched into the cap.
Right, and you like it?
I love it.
That's
it's
great,
wonderful, man. And it has the bladder in it. So when you go to fill it, there's like this this plate that you push on inside the pen, and so that forces the air out, and have the tip of the pen in your ink. And when you take your finger off of that little bar that you press on, it sucks ink up into the bladder. And so right now I have Ishirazuku, it's black. So I think that's Takisumi. Does that sound right?
I don't know.
But Ishirazuku ink, which I have found I really enjoy. So of course that's what I put in this pen, but it feels really good. And you know, I have that other everyday carry pen that I bought, that titanium pen, which Nick got a kick out of checking that one out. And that one's great, but this one is just like a little more elegant, and it weighs less too. And it's just so satisfying. The cap, when you put it on the pen, it fits so perfectly that it you can feel it create the vacuum as the pieces come together. And then you get mm-hmm. that little vacuum suction feel when mm-hmm. they pull apart. And then this pen's designed so that when you use it, you want to post the cap on the back of the pen, and it feels just the same when you put it on the back. It's just like so perfectly machined.
That's great.
that it just slides down on there, makes the perfect vacuum to hold it in place, but not so much that it's difficult to pull the cap back off. Absolutely love it.
Cool.
So, of course, I've been riding with it every day since I got it, just because I love it so much.
That checks out. All right, so it sounds like you had a good time. Oh, would you go to another pin show?
Absolutely. And I'm already assuming I will go to the Denver Pin Show again next year. But if I,
you know, this seems like something that Barry would fly out to meet you.
I bet he would.
To go with Barry, me.
Do you wanna go play at a pen show together?
Yeah, I wish I could be there.
Come on out.
Well, you know, yeah, can't right now. Anyway, regardless, I also wanted to talk about the
SPSFC.
I can never remember the acronym. It's the Self-Publishing Science Fiction Competition 5. Now, astute readers will, listeners even, I like to call you sometimes.
The people who read with their ears.
Yes, the people who read with their ears. They will have noted that my novel, Accidental Intelligence, was a finalist in the SPSFC 4. That would be last year's competition.
Right, and I was super excited about that.
The SPSF 5, SPSC 5, has been announced for, you know, obviously this is the next competition, and I'm going to be a judge this time.
Oh, super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And they're looking for more judges. So if you are an author, or if you are an avid reader of science fiction, you can apply to be a judge.
I should apply. I have like 5 years to read the books, right?
No, you do not have 5 years to read the books. That was actually the one thing I was concerned about, is my ability to get everything read in time with my other obligations. But I took the plunge and was selected as a judge. But they are, like I said, they are looking for more. They want, I don't know if they're, the last thing I heard is they were looking for 10 more judges.
Oh, wow.
So they may have gotten a couple of those slots filled since, but they need and want judges. So if you have any interest, holler. And if we'll have a link in the show notes to that information, explaining how to apply. And if you know someone who is a science fiction author, especially someone who's an independent science fiction author, an indie, mm-hmm. self-publisher, you reach out to them, let them know.
Yeah, that's cool. So yeah. If you're a judge, can any of your works still be included, and you just recuse yourself from voting on that?
I can't imagine being a judge in a competition where my book was being judged. Same. I don't know specifically if they have a rule against that. They should have a rule against that. But I am still working on my second book. So that's why I applied to be a judge, is because I knew that my book wouldn't be ready to submit.
I think being a judge would be a really cool experience for you.
Yeah, it should be fun. And it's a great competition. And it is, it's an important competition, in my opinion, in that it highlights independently published science fiction.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to catch you up on that, and giddy up, right?
Giddy up.
Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean,
all right,
this is pretty long for a podcast in 2017 anyhow, so yeah, we should wrap up.
That's fair. I'm gonna play that thing, and remember, you can't hear it, Jeff.
Hmm.
So just as a reminder. And that's this week's competition. What is this? This is a podcast, right?
This is a podcast. Yeah.
Right. Right. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, and the bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And that's all for this week, Jeff.
Yeah, it may be, yet I still want to thank MacPaw and their Clean My Mac app, and especially Cloud Cleanup in Clean My Mac, for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website and use the code ContextMachine so you get 20% off your purchase. And thank you for being our sponsor.
Yep. Thank you for being our sponsor. And until next week.
Boy, those looks sound great.